the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Dan Friedel and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, for nearly 20 years, Bagram Airfield was the center of American military power in Afghanistan. The base is located behind fences and protective walls just an hour's drive north of the Afghan capital, Kabul. At first, Bagram was a symbol of the campaign to seek those responsible for attacks on the United States on September 11, 2001. Then, the base became a symbol of its struggle for a way through the resulting war with the Taliban militant group. Soon, the last U.S. soldiers will leave Bagram. Andrew Watkins is a senior expert on Afghanistan for the International Crisis Group in Brussels, Belgium. He said, Bagram grew into such a massive military installation that, as with few other bases in Afghanistan and even Iraq, it came to symbolize and epitomize the phrase mission creep. Mission creep is a term that means the slow change over time of the goals of a military campaign. American officials said last week that more than 50% of U.S. forces in Bagram have moved out. The rest will most likely be gone by July 4th. The Afghan military will then take over Bagram as part of its continuing fight against the Taliban. The U.S. withdrawal marks the second time a world power has come and gone from Bagram. The former Soviet Union built the airfield in the 1950s. The Soviets invaded Afghanistan in 1979 to support a communist government. Bagram became their main base from which it would defend its occupation of Afghanistan. For 10 years, the Soviets fought the Mujahideen, Afghan fighters supported by the U.S. The Soviet Union negotiated its withdrawal in 1989. 3 years later, the pro-Soviet government collapsed and the Mujahideen took power. However, the Mujahideen soon began to fight among themselves and kill thousands of civilians. That conflict brought to power the Taliban, who captured Kabul in 1996. When the U.S. and NATO took control of Bagram in 2001, they found it in ruins. Rocket and gunfire from battles between the Taliban and rival Afghan fighters had severely damaged the buildings. Most of the fencing around the base was destroyed. After moving the Taliban from Kabul, the U.S.-led coalition began working with their allies to rebuild Bagram. The base quickly grew to a size of about 78 square kilometers. Bill Raggio is a senior expert on Afghanistan at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a research group. He said, the closure of Bagram is a major symbolic and strategic victory for the Taliban. Raggio added, If the Taliban is able to take control of the base, it will serve as anti-U.S. propaganda fodder for years to come. For Afghans in the Bagram area, the base has been a major supplier of employment. The U.S. withdrawal affects nearly every household, said Darish Rafi, the Bagram area governor. The Americans have also been giving the Afghan military some weapons and other material. Anything else that they are not taking, they are destroying and selling to parts dealers around Bagram. U.S. officials say they must make sure nothing usable can ever fall into Taliban hands. Last week, the U.S. said it had thrown out 14,790 pieces of equipment and sent 763 C-17 aircraft loaded with material out of Afghanistan. Rafi said many villagers have complained to him about the U.S. leaving just their waste behind. Michael Kugelman is deputy director of the Asia program at the Wilson Center, a policy research group in Washington, D.C. He said, "There's something sadly symbolic about how the U.S. has gone about leaving Bagram. The decision to take so much away and destroy so much of what is left speaks to the U.S. urgency to get out quickly." Some have compared the U.S. withdrawal to that of the former Soviet Union. Retired Afghan General Saifullah Safi worked alongside U.S. forces at Bagram. He said, "The Soviets left all their equipment when they withdrew." He added that they didn't take much with them, just the vehicles they needed to transport their soldiers back to Russia.
A tiger park in Phuket, Thailand, is preparing to welcome back foreign visitors this week. The reopening is part of a plan to bring back foreign visitors with proof of COVID-19 vaccination to the island. The visitors do not have to follow lockdown restrictions. After 14 days, as long as they have no coronavirus infection, they can travel elsewhere in Thailand. Chadarat Taudang is the general manager of Tiger Kingdom in Phuket. He said the park had put safety measures in place before Thursday's reopening to help foreign visitors feel comfortable. "We have vaccinated more than 90% of our staff and also trained them about the new normal tourism," the manager said. The park has more than 50 tigers and a cheetah, and visitors can get close to them. Since the pandemic lockdowns, visitor numbers have dropped from nearly 1,000 a day to fewer than 20. Thailand lost about $50 billion in tourism money when foreign arrivals fell to 6.7 million last year. In 2019, the country had nearly 40 million visitors. And Phuket suffered from a large number of job losses and business closings. "I'm happy that finally there will be people visiting the Tigers and Phuket City will be bustling again, said the park's assistant manager, Phonpawit Tonod. She added that the reopening would help with both Tigers and the staff's mental health. There has been an increase in the popularity of parks like the Tiger Kingdom, even though conservationists criticize them. There are concerns over safety after some attacks by the animals. Bringing back visitors is important to Thailand's economy, but government officials also have to deal with a recent increase in coronavirus infections. The government hopes Phuket's pilot program will bring 129,000 visitors to Thailand from July through September. That number is still far below the average 3.3 million monthly arrivals in 2019. Abdul Rahim Awaikechi cares for the animals in the park. He said, "I'm happy about the park reopening because our cheetah, Gregor, loves being around tourists and staff." I'm Dan Friedel.
Microsoft has announced Windows 11, the first major update in 6 years of its widely used computer operating system. The new version has a simplified design. It also adds new tools to help users better organize their desktop workspace for working on several different tasks at once. Windows 11 also brings Android apps to Windows for the first time and includes improved gaming performance, Microsoft said in an announcement last week. In a video event, Microsoft Chief Executive Satya Nadella said the changes represent the beginning of a new generation of computing. He added that with Windows 11, the company was reimagining everything. The new operating system is expected to become available later this year on new computers and other devices. It will also be offered as a free upgrade for users of Windows 10, the last operating system Microsoft released in 2015. Microsoft's Windows system has long been a leader in the worldwide personal computer market. But many PC users have moved to other devices, such as smartphones and tablets. Microsoft's newest OS is aimed at such users and the large corporate PC market. The company said its designers aimed to create a modern, fresh, and clean look in Windows 11. There is a new Start button, a redesigned task control, new sounds, and software updates meant to improve computer speed and performance. The company says Windows 11 comes with new tools designed to improve multitasking on the PC. The new OS aims to make it easier for users to organize apps and documents on different sized desktops. It also permits the creation of multiple desktops for different purposes. In addition, the new OS makes it easier for users of Microsoft-based laptops or tablets to connect to larger monitors. One tool shrinks or expands all desktop elements when the user changes monitors. This prevents the need for the user to have to reposition all windows with each monitor change. To create a faster way to connect to the people you care about, Microsoft said it made its Teams Messenger system part of Windows 11. Users can now instantly connect with others through Teams from the main task controller. Microsoft will start offering apps that run on Google's Android operating system for the first time. Android is widely used on smartphones around the world and is the major competitor to Apple's iOS system. Microsoft says Windows 11 users will be able to discover Android apps in the Microsoft Store and download them through the Amazon App Store. Since the apps will be limited to those offered by Amazon, some popular Android apps will not be available for Windows users. Microsoft's Chief Product Officer, Panos Panay, demonstrated the change with the TikTok app, saying it was one of his favorites. Imagine recording and posting a video from TikTok or using Khan Academy Kids for virtual learning right from your personal computer, Panay said. The company said its new OS was also improved for gamers, with updated systems for graphics and PC performance and a new Xbox app built directly into Windows 11. Microsoft also announced that its new Windows Store will let software developers use their own in-app payment systems. The move was aimed at further opening the Microsoft Store to unlock greater economic opportunity for creators and developers. Under this system, developers can avoid paying any commissions to Microsoft. App developers who want to use Microsoft's in-app payment system will have to pay a 15% commission. This percentage is much lower than the one for Apple's in-app payment system, which charges commissions of up to 30%. Apple's policies were disputed in a recent court case that centers on App Store operation. In the case, video game company Epic Games accused Apple of holding too much control over the App Store. The company also accused Apple of building a system that unlawfully locks out competition. A judge is expected to rule on the case later this year. I'm Brian Lynn.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about William Howard Taft, who took office in 1909. In some ways, the story of Taft's presidency is also a story about Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Roosevelt had been president for the 8 years before Taft. The two men were friends. Roosevelt was even a mentor to Taft. But the two men were very different. Roosevelt was energetic, both in his physical abilities and in his use of executive power. His vision for the country was progressive. In contrast, Taft was a more conservative, heavy man who fell asleep in meetings and who did not make decisions quickly. In fact, Americans often remember Taft because of his size. His weight changed frequently, but as president, Taft usually weighed about 135 kilograms. One popular story claims that Taft got stuck in a White House bathtub. This story is not true. However, it is true that Taft had a special bathtub made for him. Several men could sit comfortably in it. As president, Taft did continue some of Roosevelt's reforms, but in a more orderly way. He also took some actions that contradicted Roosevelt's wishes. In 4 years, the two men had gone from political allies to competitors for the White House. Taft was another president who was born in the state of Ohio. He grew up in the city of Cincinnati, along with 5 siblings. Taft's father was a well-known lawyer, public official, and diplomat. He was an advisor to President Ulysses Grant. His mother was an intelligent, independent woman who also worked for the public good. The Tafts had high expectations for their son. He became an excellent student who went on to study at Yale and then the University of Cincinnati Law School. Taft sought a career path that he hoped would lead him one day to the U.S. Supreme Court. He worked as a lawyer and then as a judge in Ohio. Along the way, he met Theodore Roosevelt. Roosevelt helped Taft advance his career as a judge. But one person was not happy about the career move: Taft's wife. Taft had married an intelligent, independent woman named Helen Herron, known as Nellie. She had always wanted to be first lady, and she urged her husband to follow a path toward the White House. In time, Nellie Taft had her wish. In 1900, President William McKinley offered Taft a position in the Philippines. The islands had come under the control of the United States after the Spanish-American War. McKinley wanted Taft to help prepare the Philippines to be ruled by civilians instead of by soldiers. Taft worried he would not like the job. However, he knew that it was a good chance to build a political career. Taft was right about that, but he was wrong about disliking the job. He enjoyed it so much that he turned down 2 offers to return to the U.S. and serve on the Supreme Court. In the Philippines, Taft successfully established courts, schools, a transportation network, and a health care system. Taft did have pejorative views about the people who lived there. He did not think they were yet capable of governing themselves, but he performed his job as Governor General effectively. Taft might have even stayed in the Philippines if it were not for his friend, Theodore Roosevelt. In 1901, Roosevelt became president. He asked Taft to become his Secretary of War. Taft agreed, partly so he could continue to supervise the Philippines. But the job also put him in a position to become president himself. William Taft did not really want to be president, but Theodore Roosevelt and Nellie Taft wanted him to be. During the election of 1908, Taft permitted Roosevelt to do most of the campaigning for him. He spent a lot of time golfing. Taft was the first president to be strongly linked, so to speak, to the sport of golfing. Another word for golf course is links. Yet voters approved of Taft. They likely hoped he would continue the reforms of Roosevelt. He won the election easily. Once in the White House, however, Taft did several things that reversed Roosevelt's positions. First, Taft signed a bill that did not reduce tariffs as much as many progressive activists wanted. Then, Taft removed one of Roosevelt's friends from a government position. Taft believed he was correct in making the move, but Roosevelt and many other Republicans were furious. Some historians say they did not give Taft enough credit for the many reforms he did make. His government pursued a large number of antitrust suits against big businesses. It also advanced two constitutional amendments, one to establish a federal income tax and another to permit voters to elect senators directly. As the end of Taft's term in the White House came near, the Republican Party was divided. At their 1912 convention, a majority of delegates nominated Taft for president again, but a number left the meeting in anger. They created a new group called the Progressive Party and nominated as their candidate Theodore Roosevelt. Taft and Roosevelt, along with the Democratic Party candidate, fought a bitter campaign during 1912. Of the three, Taft came in last. Roosevelt came in second. The divided Republicans had given control of the White House to the Democratic candidate, Woodrow Wilson. Happily for him, Taft's story does not end there. Taft taught at Yale University Law School for a while. Then, when a Republican took the White House again, President Warren Harding appointed Taft as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He is the only person to lead both the executive and judicial branches of the U.S. government. Taft was clear about which one he favored. He was much more comfortable as a justice than he was as president. One journalist at the time described Chief Justice Taft as a smiling Buddha, placid, wise, gentle, sweet. He even lost weight. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.